Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Peter Breen of Thomas More Society. He's special counsel with that group. We're going to get an update on the David DeLuyden case and cases related to David DeLuyden. Peter, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
All right, and just to recap here, David DeLuyden is the young gentleman only in his 20s who made that series of exposés on Planned Parenthood and how they apparently traffic in baby body parts. And in fact, today's discussion will be an offshoot of that particular issue. But before we go into the meat of that, go ahead and tell us about the recent decision a few weeks ago to exonerate David DeLuyden and throw out all charges, or at least one aspect of some of the many lawsuits against him.
Well, and there had been a movement. The attorney general, I'm sorry, it's the district attorney of Harris County, which is Houston, Texas, so one of the largest cities in the country, one of the largest district attorney's offices in the country, had charged David and one of his investigators, Susan Merritt, with a felony. Of allegedly, altering a government document because they said that they presented fake IDs in order to get into a Planned Parenthood. We had fought that vigorously. We had contended from the beginning that there's nothing illegal about an undercover journalist presenting an ID with an assumed identity on it to a private party. You know, it wasn't like he was using it to do something illegal, such as buy a beer or what have you. But even more, I mean, this was charged as a felony. It was a very serious legal issue that we were facing. And we were able, just a few weeks ago, to get get all of the charges dismissed. And so that was done by some pretty vigorous argument. We were putting forward allegations of prosecutorial misconduct, other very, very serious issues with the grand jury indictment. It was funny, on the eve of the hearing, I mean, literally as the judge is taking the bench and we're about to start, the other side cried uncle. And they took one of the technical objections we had had. But look, they'd had that technical objection in front of them for months. So they could have taken it at any time. It was really, I think, staring down the barrel at a hearing where they were going to have some significant issues raised about the way they had prosecuted this case. They decided to take the better part, dismissed all of the remaining charges against David and Susan. And so they are out from under that criminal issue in Houston, Texas. Wonderful victory. It was good, aggressive lawyering, and we're very glad to get him out from under, David out from under what was a felony charge with 20 years in prison as a maximum penalty.
Now, are there other legal cases against him, lawsuits and so forth? Wasn't there some group in San Francisco or something?
We actually, right now, there are three different lawsuits pending against David and his co-investigators in California. One in Los Angeles by Stem Express, which was one of the main baby body part companies that does all the trafficking. That case is proceeding apace in Los Angeles. We've got two cases up in San Francisco, federal court class action nationwide cases. Those are very involved, very difficult cases. Those are by the National Abortion Federation and by Planned Parenthood itself and many of its affiliates there in California and some elsewhere. So as well, we've got an investigation from the California Attorney General. She served a search warrant on David's apartment. So he had 11 California Department of Justice agents in there, taking his computer, taking all of his stuff, even taking the cell phone he was talking to me on as we were talking through some of the issues with those investigators on site with him. So
you have a right to make a phone call to your attorney, but if you're not finished with that phone call, we're going to go ahead and take the phone itself away from you. I mean, that's amazing.
Right.
Did he finish the call with you before they took it? I mean,
so we chatted and they told him, hey, we're going to be taking your cell phone. And so, I mean, finish up, but it was surreal. And look, they're treating him like he's, someone who's committed some serious felony. And the only thing they've alleged in California are, possibly doing something with a fake ID, which again, we believe is entirely legal for undercover journalists to use assumed identities.
Right.
And then some sort of, a technical violation of their taping laws, their undercover taping laws in California. So we really, serving a search warrant, sending 11 California Department of Justice agents over to David DeLuyden's apartment, was is not just overkill. I mean, it was a waste of taxpayer resources. And certainly, if the California Attorney General doesn't have anything better to do, then that says something about that office. And of course, the California Attorney General is running for U.S. Senate as well. So maybe there was a little bit of politicking there in the way that the laws are being administered in the state of California.
Boy, anybody who thinks that we're not in a culture war, I don't know what cave they live in. I mean, honestly, the forces of good versus the forces of evil, it plays out virtually every day in modern America. All right, so that brings us to where we are. In fact, let me go ahead and say this for anybody who hasn't actually seen the films that got David DeLeiden in trouble in the first place. He and his cohorts, but he was the main guy, made a whole series of expositional videos showing that Planned Parenthood actually orchestrates many of their abortions in such a way so that body parts can be preserved. Here, supposedly, on the one hand, it's just a blob of tissue, right? But in reality, that blob of tissue has good lungs that are needed for research, and has a brain, and has these different organs and so forth that will bring lots and lots of money. So Planned Parenthood not only benefits from the abortion itself, but they make a ton of money on the body parts of these poor little unborn babies, which they deny that they're even unborn babies. Okay, so now there's a new lawsuit. Tell us about that, involving the University of Washington, Seattle.
Certainly. And what David has done as the next phase in his investigation is to really get to the bottom of the public monies and the networks of organizations that are trafficking in baby body parts across the country. So your taxpayer dollars are being used, and these entities have been just running amok, sending, as you pointed out, I mean, really disgusting, brains and hearts and livers and lungs across the country. And then again, as you noted, Jerry, the value of these parts is that they are human. The problem is the abortion procedure itself is a denial of the basic humanity of the child.
Yeah.
So really the only reason their value is because these are human body parts. And so it's just a disgusting practice. David has been doing open records requests across the country. In Washington, the abortion industry and the fetal tissue research
in the state of Washington.
In the state of Washington, they've got something called the Birth Defects Research Lab. So it has a very innocuous sounding title. But what it does is that entity at the University of Washington acts as a clearinghouse for baby parts for many other institutions across the country. So it's a key player in this trafficking in baby body parts that we see in various parts of the country. David wanted to get the records to say, okay, what are they doing? Who are they paying? How is the money changing hands? How are these parts being traded and what have you? He asked for some very specific items, some communications between key leaders in the abortion industry and the fetal body parts industry. And the other side has now arrayed. They filed a nationwide class action against him in federal court in Washington, and they are out for blood. They want to establish, as a matter of federal constitutional law, that citizens can't get access to government records that have to do with the fetal tissue industry. So, in every other area of life, we cherish the right of people to get access to their government documents, to see how your tax dollars are being spent. But the fetal tissue industry now wants to carve out an exception as a matter of federal constitutional law, so it would apply across the country, to any records involving fetal tissue.
Okay, so where does the Thomas More Society fit?
Well, we were glad to run into court. It's been a expedited proceedings. They're looking for a preliminary injunction. There's a temporary restraining order entered before we even had a chance to respond. And so there are some very serious proceedings going on there. You're going to see us. We've got a motion to dismiss that is coming up soon. And there's a lot of action going on that's going to continue to go on in Seattle, Washington, in that federal court. But again, I mean, the issue here is it's not merely the basics of the moral issues or the abortion issue or what have you. It's the fundamental right of people to be able to get records on how their government is operating. And so the other side wants to so heavily redact these records that they're taking out any information that might be useful to those who are trying to hold their government accountable.
It's not clear to me, though, who's suing who. It just seems almost like a Byzantine mess or something.
Well, here's the thing. So the abortion industry, it's abortion lawyers, they have sued on behalf of what they're calling Jane and John Doe's. So we don't have any names. We don't know who these folks are. They're suing to keep these records out, to prevent them from release. They've sued the University of Washington, but the University of Washington says, yes, you know, please sue us. Please sue us to stop the release of the records. So it's a collusive lawsuit.
Oh.
But then they join David and a gentleman named Zach Freeman, who is with the Washington Family Policy Institute, who also requested some similar records. And so really, we are sitting here having to fight two parties. You know, in theory, the plaintiff and the defendant are the plaintiffs are the abortion lawyers and their folks. The defendant is the University of Washington, but it's not defending itself and actually agreeing to injunctions and all sorts of things. So we're really fighting a two-front war there in Seattle. And it, you know, it's a terrible thing that a government entity, the University of Washington, is advocating to keep records secret. And to do such heavy redaction to those records as to both delay their production, they don't want to put these records out quickly, but also then to redact them so heavily that you're going to lose the value of the records themselves.
Yeah. So in other words, if they gave them stuff that was just so censored, it'd be worthless. It's like just you know the spun version of what actually happened.
Right. So, you know, you see the various, when government documents get released and the entire page is redacted, you know, it's all black and maybe you get a word or two in there and that's all you see. I mean, the other side desperately wants to keep David and the public from getting these documents. So they have thrown up every roadblock they can to try to delay.
Wow.
You know, there's a congressional investigation going on right now and, you know, this information would be useful for the Congress, certainly. And, but, again, the other side is very much, they're desperately trying to delay the release of these records.
You know, Peter, I know you're not supposed to make analogies about the Nazis and stuff, but honestly, if you read, and I took the time to read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by a journalist, you know, William Shirer, it's a classic book, who was there during the whole regime and so forth. And one of the things he pointed out about when the Nazis would actually do experiments on living human beings in some of the concentration camps, they took meticulous notes of all these things. They would take an Aryan, freeze him to death, see how long it took the Aryan to die in that, you know, freezing conditions, and then take a Jew and do the exact same thing and take it meticulous notes and so forth. I have read, and it's my understanding, that all of that scientific data that they put out is not quoted by anybody for understandable reasons. I mean, in other words, the research was actually done, but because it was done in such a disgusting and terrible way, it's totally discredited. And you'd think that if people, you know, honestly understood what was happening in the abortion industry, that, you know, David DeLayden has, like, lifted up this big rock, and we see underneath the rock all these worms, crawling around. I mean, it's terrible. But anyway, in a very real sense, that should be discredited research, too, in the big picture.
Well, in terms of the fetal tissue research, it requires an abortion, which obviously the child does not consent to. And when you look at, you know, the vast majority of doctors in this country refuse to provide abortions. They refuse to perform them. Doctors across the world refuse to perform abortions because they see it for what it is. And what David's project has done is shown the public that, hey, this is a seedy practice. It is unregulated, really, to any significant degree. They are violating the few laws that exist on this, and that this is, you know, and now these public records would help to show how tax dollars are being used.
Wow.
With this, really, we would say, unethical research.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's being prevented right now. We're doing everything we can to get those records out so that the people of this country can see what's going on, particularly with their tax dollars,
yep.
See what's going on with fetal tissue research.
Peter, thanks so much for being with us. ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. Always a pleasure, Peter. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.